Good morning. First of all, I just want to say that I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be able to speak with you guys. And I just really appreciate this congregation so much. I really appreciate Clint. Thankful for him just continuing to kind of help me and guide me as we try to do this ministry there on that campus. As Jim said, there's a lot going on there at University of Houston on that campus, and these students, they are being introduced to so many different things in so many different ways, and it's great that God's people can be there as well, that we can be a part of this process as they are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life, that we can be there and that we can connect with them, that we can get to know them, that we can talk with them in order to help them to know who Christ is, which is really the most important thing. That's what this life is all about. I just want to start. I want to try to, as we go through the message and go through the lesson we're going to do, hopefully I'll be able to kind of just give you a feel of what we're doing and what's happening on the campus right now. Really, I want to just kind of give you an idea and the thought process of where my mind is, where my heart is. Again, just giving you thanks for everything that you do and your contributions. I should have did this maybe a few months ago, but I'm gonna do it now. I'm gonna take the time to do this now. We had a dinner, and at the dinner we were talking about the ministry and what we're doing with this ministry and trying to encourage people to continue to be a part of the ministry. And I was going through and I was naming people that I was thankful for. And then there was one group of people or one person or family that I just did not do a good job of really saying thanks to them the way I should have. And I feel like, I don't know if they really care. They probably would say they don't, but then I don't know. But as Jim just said, man, I appreciate you and Luann so much. Because we came down here, like I said, I moved here in September, and they let me, a stranger, to them, just spend time with them and stay in their house. They put me in the garage, and they didn't even lock me away so that I couldn't get anywhere else. Like I had all access to the entire house. So I was really blessed that they did this, and we were there from, and they didn't really give me, even though it seemed like I left it right at the right time, they didn't even really give me a, like, you got to be gone by, like, you figure it out. And then, of course, at times, my family came in and really disrupted their lives. And thank y'all so much. Like, that's Christianity. I know that's what God wants us to do, and that's how God wants us to live. I also want to just give another shout. I know he's not here, but I really appreciate Clint. I really appreciate him. Kind of trying to show me the ropes out there at University of Houston and just preparing the way as we do ministry there on the campus. So with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and just jump into our lesson proper. And if you don't mind, I just kind of want to just talk to you for a minute. Anybody got one of these? Anybody owns this? Is there anybody that don't own one of these? You know,
iPhone.
Well. I knew we were going to have one of those people here that won't get on track, that's messing up everything else for everybody else because they want to continue just to be a rebel and don't want to get on board with us moving along the way we should, the way God intends. Just joking. But this thing right here, I mean the phone in general, and this phone that we can carry, you know, and I mean I'm 45 years old, so I remember the day and the age where a cordless phone was cool, you know, and now the fact that you got a phone that you can take, and it goes everywhere that you go, it goes right along with you. And I know our kids, my kids, they don't understand that; they take it for granted. The fact that you could, Patrice and I, that's my wife, and I'm thankful that she's here and just all the support she continues to give me. You know, there was, can you imagine that there was a time that you could go places and not have GPS? That you can go to a new place, right? This is real, right? The kids are like, no, yes. That you can continue, you can drive across states and not have any kind of thing that no lady is gonna talk to you and say, hey, you need to turn left, you need to turn right. Nothing. And you don't know where you're going. There's these things, it's called maps. And you, it's like books, kind of, sort of, but, you know, and it has like these things you can follow, and you would have to use that, because my wife and I, when we were younger, you know, we got married when we were in 2006, and phones and stuff was still, you know, of course it was around, but you still using maps and stuff, and we were moving, like, we were living in new places, and we didn't know where to go. We had to follow our maps, or we had to, even worse than following maps, we had to depend on people to tell us how to get to other places. And some people are good at it. Oklahoma folks are okay at it. We lived in Oklahoma for a little while. Except for, you got to learn northwest, east, and south. But Texas folks are not good at it. Because it's like, you go to this part, and then when you see that red tree, then you turn around, and then you turn to the next tree, and then you go yonder about a couple blocks, and then you, yeah, no. But what I'm trying to tell you, and what I'm trying to remind us, is that we are so connected to this, right? We're so connected to this. We need this. It's hard to put that. Usually when I preach, I usually don't even bring it up with me. The only reason why I want to do it today, because I wanted to make this example. But for me, and I will admit this as kind of a problem, I have an issue when I am unplugged from my phone. Like, when I'm not around my phone, I get anxiety. I start feeling a certain kind of way. And everything doesn't feel right. And I know that's a problem. I know it shouldn't be like that. But if I'm honest, and if you're honest, I know I'm not the only one that feel that way. There's a camp that my family goes to in South Carolina. And at that camp, one of the greatest blessings and one of the greatest frustrations of the camp is, there is no signal at all. So that means when you go to this camp, you are literally separated from what we would say is everything. Or that's the way you think. You go into this camp and you're at this place that's in the mountains. And it's awesome and it's wonderful and it's a great experience. But at first you're kind of like, okay. And for me, I'm just like, man, I may be away from my wife, maybe away from my younger kids. They can't get with me, or you know, the job that I do, I'm doing ministry in different places. If somebody is trying to contact me, they cannot contact me. I am like disconnected from everybody, and I struggle. I truly, truly struggle with that. Like, it bothers me. It bothers me. Like, I don't know how to deal with being struggled. When I'm in that situation. And this is an amazing thing that happens when I go to camp or when I come back. I get to the place where there is signal, and then my phone just starts lighting up. And I get all these things, these missed calls, all these texts that I missed. And then, you know, literally I'm riding on the road, I will pull over and I will look and see, okay, what did I miss? And to be honest, 9 times out of 10, it's nothing really, really important. It's just little things. Sometimes, every once in a while, there's something like, oh, maybe I should have known that. But it's usually stupid updates. Maybe somebody just saying, hey. A lot of spam calls. But that's it. There comes a time when I'm at camp, though, where I realize that life is bigger than my phone. That there is something more important than being connected to people through this little device. And that there is a bigger thing that's happening. This lesson, and I won't be long at all, is this idea of that God is trying to connect with each one of us. That God is trying to invite us to be a part of what he is doing in this world. That God is bigger than technology, is bigger than our phones, is bigger than our social media, is bigger than our family, is bigger than anything, or he's bigger than anything and everything. And God has a desire for his people. And we need to be willing to listen to what God is doing in this world. I want you to look at the text again, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read it to you. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I love this story. Like, I love this story. I love this idea. I love this thought that we have Moses, who, if you know, and we don't have time to go into all of the back history of Moses, but you know Moses was his name literally means to be drawn out of the water. That Moses was supposed to be, or especially as we read the text, we know the spoilers, he's supposed to be salvation for the children of Israel who are in slavery. Moses, who while he is born, the people, all of the little Hebrew boys around him are being killed and being slaughtered because the Pharaoh is concerned about what these Hebrew people, these Hebrew slaves, about them growing and about the problems that it's going to cause to him and to his people. But Moses' mom, instead of killing her son, or instead of allowing her son to be killed by the Egyptians, she hides him and she puts him in an ark. She puts him in a basket. And as she puts him in the river, and then the son of Pharaoh finds this baby boy, and she raises him as her own. But Moses knows who he is. His mom is his nurse. And he comes to this point where Moses sees a Hebrew getting killed by an Egyptian. And Moses does something about it. He kills the Egyptian. And because of this, then Moses then runs for his life. And he is now in this wilderness. And while he is in this wilderness, he meets Jethro, and he ends up marrying one of Jethro's daughters. And now he is tending the flock of Jethro. That's what we come at when we're in Exodus 3. Moses is so connected to his father-in-law. He is tending his flock. Many of us, and I don't want to sit here as we go through this message, as we think of these different things, I don't want to sit here and just be hard on Moses, but I do want to point out the fact that Moses is not where he is meant to be. It's not. He is not living the life that he is supposed to live. As far as there are things that God has for him that are greater than what he is dealing with right now. I'm not trying to say that God put him there, that there was a purpose for him to be where he is. But that's not it. His life does not end in that wilderness. His purpose is not tending a flock. When we think of this idea of when, you know, of when God calls, or the idea of when you get a phone call, I just want to make three quick points. There are mainly three reasons why we don't answer the call when it's a real phone call. The number one reason for this message is that the reason why we don't answer a call is because we're too busy with other stuff. There are more things that are important to us than answering a call. Again, you go back in the day, the phone didn't just come up and pop. When somebody, if you're on the phone with somebody else, that person would get a thing, the busy signal. But now, you know, the phone calls still kind of go through and you can still see who it is. One of the reasons why we don't answer phones is because we're too busy. Man, when you look at Moses and you look at what Moses is going through, Moses has become busy with living the life of Jethro's son-in-law. He's stuck. Because if you look later on in the text, after he has this moment, after God speaks to him through this burning bush, One of the first people that Moses goes and runs to, he runs to Jethro. And if you look at what's going on there, basically what he is doing is he is asking Jethro, Jethro, God wants me to go somewhere else. God wants me to do something else. I know I'm working for you, I'm serving you, but this is what God wants me to do. In some ways, Moses is asking him, Jethro, is it okay if I leave you and go and do what God wants me to do? And again, take some time, go there and read some of that. Jethro tells Moses, go to peace. He sounds like, it's okay. Go do. If God has something for you, go do what God wants you to do. Man, I need it. We need some Jethros in our life. People that are that may be outside of God's body, but yet still realize that if God is telling you to do something, you got to do what God tells you to do. You can't just do what you want to do. You can't just live life the way that you want to live. And if we're honest, man, it is so easy to just get caught up with my life and with the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm going through and I'm struggling with, that it's hard for me to see that there is something bigger that is going on in the world today. The second reason why we don't answer our phone calls is because we just aren't that interested. We're just not interested in what's going on. We know, and again, we can be honest, right? We're all family. Aren't there people that when they call you, you like, ah, I just don't want to deal with that person today. Like, there are people that you see the phone ringing and you see that name pop up. This person that's calling you and is saying, like, it's almost like they're waving at you. Hey, I need you. And sometimes we say, man, I just don't have the bandwidth to deal with this person right now. From a spiritual standpoint, don't we do the same thing? This is what I love about Moses, and this is why when you read this story, it says that Moses is doing his thing. Yes, he's busy doing the things that he's doing, but then when he sees this bush that is on fire, I was looking at kind of texts and historical documents or whatever, or not the documents, but historical scholars talking about fires in the wilderness, and they said it's very possible that bushes are on fire, kind of common. It's something that you could see. But when Moses sees this bush, because this is not a common bush, he could have just said, oh, that's cool, there is a bush that's on fire. But it says what Moses did was Moses stopped and he looked. And he allowed that bush that was on fire to be a disruption in his life. It says he went over to see what is going on here. Yes, there's a bush on fire. But then after he continued to look at it, after he continued to seek and to see what was going on, he realized that it is something bigger than just a bush that is on fire, but that God is doing something in the bush. It says the angel of the Lord showed up, that there is something bigger than just a bush that is on fire, that God is working in this place. This Mount of Hebron is called the Mountain of God. This is a place that is somehow or another is already associated with God. We know that this is in the wilderness. We know that this place is associated with Mount Sinai, that Moses is later on going to have another encounter with God. Moses could have just kept on walking past. He could have kept on saying, like, look, I'm not really concerned about what's going on here. But instead, Moses stops. And Moses says, I need to see what this is. And of course, for Moses, it's a little bit easier if there's the angel of the Lord. And if there is a voice from God that comes out and then start speaking to Moses. Moses clearly can tell and understand, wait a minute, this is a God thing. In the business of our lives, as we go through our trials and as we go through our struggles, we know that God is doing something in this world. But it's hard for us to stop and look and see what is God doing. Especially when it means I have to disrupt my life. I personally believe that God is doing something right now. I personally believe and I'm convinced that God has a desire for everybody to know him, for everybody to be saved. Right now, there are people who don't know who God is. And if they don't know who God is, and if they don't know his son, they are going to be in trouble. Moses is living the life. Moses is a shepherd. He is in his father-in-law's house. He is getting comfortable with the things that God has given him in this space. But Moses has to know, he has to be reminded that his people, the people who he came out of, people who God had delivered him from, the people who had saved him when he was a baby, these people are suffering. These people are dying, and they are in slavery, and they are losing their lives, and they are in a bad situation. And God is reminding Moses, there's some stuff that's happening. You can't just be comfortable here in the wilderness. I need you to go back and save these people. Just because you're free, it's not enough. You have to go back and you have to go and save others. So I've been doing ministry for about more than 20 years now. And I've done it in a bunch of different ways. I've done a lot of youth ministry, family life ministry, and I've also done campus ministry. And I did campus ministry at Oklahoma Christian for about 3 years. It's not better. It's not even easier. But now doing campus ministry at a Christian college versus doing campus ministry at a state college, it's different. It's different. And this is the thing that I want to tell you, and this is the thing that I want to inform you about if you don't already know. There are so many students, and it's not just at University of Houston, but I'm the campus ministry for University of Houston, so I'm going to talk about University of Houston. There are so many students that are there, and I know Cal can attest to this, that they are hungry. They want to have a conversation, and they want to know who God is. They want to talk about him. They want to have these conversations. Now, I'm going to be honest. They want to have it on their terms. Like, they do, like it's harder, of course, to bring them here. But if you go there, they are willing to talk to you about who God is. They're willing, and they're even willing to listen. It's not, some people say all they want to do is debate. No. There are many that are seeking. There are many people that want to know who God is and what God is doing in their life and what Jesus has done for them. But the only way they're going to know is if we, those that know, those that have been saved, those that have that personal relationship with Christ, if we go and tell them who God is and what Jesus has done. It's so easy, again, to get caught up in our lives and say, man, look, like just to come to church and to enjoy the singing and be able to come together and to commune with Jesus and to fellowship with one another, to come together in prayer. These are amazing. These are wonderful. These are great things. But as children of God, we have a greater purpose. We can't just sit in the mountain. We have to go. We have to go. This last reason why many of us don't answer our phones, our real phones, when somebody calls is because we are, as I stated before, we're just disconnected. Like we're so disconnected that we don't know that there is something greater that is going on in this world, that God is doing something, that God is calling us to something. I love the imagery of a burning bush. Because it makes you wonder, is God saying, when he's talking to Moses, this bush that is on fire, if a bush is on fire, what's supposed to happen? It's going to be consumed. It's going to be burned up. But this bush is on fire. This bush, there's flames all around it. There is destruction everywhere that is connected to this bush. But somehow or another, this bush is still being saved. Is God saying that my people, the Israelites, that they are on fire, they are being, that there is destruction all around them? But even through the destruction, even through the flames, even through the slavery, I am still sustaining them. I am still saving them. But I need you to do something for me. I need you to go to them. I need you to contend for their souls. Can't stay here, Moses. You can't, yes, this mountain. Yes, you got to take your shoes off. Yes, this is a holy place. Yes, this is wonderful. Yes, this is amazing. But you can't stay on the mountain. You got to go and save your people. Is God saying that to us? Is God calling us? I'm not saying that God is bringing burning bushes in our lives, but I do think that God is showing us that there are some things and there is some evil that is in this world. And for us, man, it is so easy to take some time and allow our lives to be destructed by the evil that we see and just continue about our business. In the prayer, it was mentioned about these people that are at these young girls, and it's more than just girls, but to be honest, that's what hits me, man. These little children that went to a Christian camp. That's where they're supposed to go, right? That's great. You're sending your kids to camp, like I said, me and my children, me and my older daughter and my son, and then my nephew as well. We went to camp a few weeks ago. And then if my wife let us go, my son and my nephew, we're going back to camp in a couple of weeks. And she's nervous. Like, it's a good thing to do. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. I can't imagine being that family that said, I'm sending my little girl. My girl's 10 years old. I'm sending her to camp for the first time. Thankfully, I was there with her, so that was cool that we could do that. But I'm sending her to camp for the first time. I can't imagine being at this camp, Camp Mystic. And something like this happens. And I bring this up in the story because, man, I saw this on my feeds and on my timelines, and I did not want to look at it. I didn't want to, but it kept on coming. And eventually, at some point, you got to look and say, okay, man, this is what's going on in this world. And I'm not going to sit here and say, man, God, I could say, but I'm not going to say what God can do and can't do. This is a horrible situation, but guess what? God is still in control. And to be honest, there are other people that are losing their lives right now. And my heart goes out. My heart is bleeding for these kids, and it should. But then there are so many other folks. That's why campus ministry is so important. Again, there are so many students that are being, so many different things are being thrown at them. They're presented with all these different things. And many of us, we don't realize how important it is for us to be there and to connect with them. And most importantly, to do what we're supposed to do and to show them Christ. I'm about to close. I'm going to close with hopefully a verse that you guys are very familiar with. Kind of connects that middle thing on your mission, making disciples. I want us to look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16. I'm going to read through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I know the story, right? Jesus, the Son of God. He comes down and he lives this life for us. And in this life, he lives a perfect life, and he ends up losing his life for us. And in the meantime, he's dealing with his disciples, and he's living with his disciples, and he is giving them everything. And it's at this point where they're like, "Okay, now, Jesus, what happens next?" And he's like, "Well, I'm about to die." And then when he dies, the disciples are now trying to figure out, okay, what do we do next? Somehow or another, they knew that they had to come to the mountain to worship. Wait a minute, this sounds kind of familiar. They come to the mountain. Who shows up in the mountain? Jesus. Jesus is who? The Son of God. Moses goes to the mountain. Who shows up in the mountain? God. Moses recognizes that God is there. What do? They recognize that Jesus is God. They worship and they bow down before him. But then it says, but some doubted. Moses, y'all read through what happens next in the text. "I can't do this. I don't speak good. I got these issues. They're not going to believe me, blah, blah, blah." All these different things that Moses says he can't do. He doubts. And if y'all keep on reading, it's really, like, it was hard for Moses to leave the space. The disciples, it seemed like it was difficult for them to leave the space. Many of us were coming here, and this feels like a mountain, right? We come together and we worship with one another. We worship and we bow down and we recognize God is God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is salvation. But guess what? That's not enough. God tells Moses, "Go to Israel." Jesus tells the disciples to do what? To go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or go make disciples. God is telling us to go. To go. We can't just stay in our mountains. We can't stay in our safe spaces, in our safe places. We have to go and serve those who do not know who God is. Again, selfishly maybe, but it's I don't want to sit here and act like, okay, that's why, you know, I'm great because I'm serving God, because I'm out here on this campus. Because I'm not great. I'm messed up. It's like Moses is. I don't have a greater calling than anybody else in this room. But I do realize that we are needed. Like, it's easy now to talk about doing mission trips, sending people all over. And You guys already know this. I know I'm talking to the choir, but we need the reminder. Right there, what, like 20 miles away, maybe even not even 20 miles, what, 20 minutes away, 25 minutes, depending on who's driving and how bad Houston traffic is. Right there, there are people who are open and who are ready and want to hear the message of God. And all we got to do is go. All we got to do is go. Continue to pray for the University of Houston. Continue to pray for the Kooks for Christ. Last year, man, you know, coming in, like they had, man, it doesn't seem like it's been a year. Coming in September and now coming to this point. And I didn't get to start at the beginning of the year, so that was kind of a, you know, it kind of hurt a little bit. The first semester, really both semesters for me, was just like learning and trying to understand what God is doing on that campus and trying to get to know the students as well as possible. The first semester was okay. The second semester, though, God's showing up in those students. They're not perfect. They're figuring things out. They're trying to be better. They're making mistakes. But there is a seed that's planted within them where they're like, we need to know who God is, and we need to be able to tell other people about who God is. They're taking ownership of this ministry. I'm there trying to help them and serve them and try to give them the things that they need in order for them to be the community. This is what it's about, being a community of people that are serving one another. Right there in the midst of the world, amidst the sin, where things are happening, helping them through that, helping them to understand who God is and what God is doing in their life so that they can be a light, so that they can be salt, so that they can answer the call. Because it's not just about us serving them. It's about helping them to serve others. And we're doing it. We're getting there. I'm excited about what's going to happen next year as we start. We got a young lady who's going to be coming in as our ministry intern, and we have a young man who's going to be kind of doing. He's going to be the president of our student organization, and they're on fire. They're still local here in the area, and we've been having lunches and talking. And God's going to do something with this ministry. We continue to need your help. I invite you to come out on Monday night specifically, or to have conversation with me or Jim, of course, on like what ways you can come and do things. I know we have partnered with you guys. I know we have a lot of students that come, that end up coming here, a good group of, good bit of our students that come here. We'll continue to send them this way. That's what makes sense. I pray that you continue to love on them, continue to be there for them, but then also continue to allow us to partner with you guys. I know we've partnered a couple of times going to Impact and doing other things. But I just believe, and I think it's bigger than what I believe, this is the work that God wants us to do. And it's right here in our backyard. So if there's anybody here, I meant to ask a question. I just do a regular invitation kind of situation. So if there's anybody here that's just going through trials, going through struggles, or if there's anybody here that doesn't know who Christ is and want to obey the gospel, that believe that he is the Son of God and is willing to give their lives over to him, you can do that now as we together stand and sing the invitation song.